I'm still waiting for the tongues of fire. Yeah, light me on fire. I thought it was my last Pentecost, something like that would happen. It's not my last Pentecost. I hope. But Pentecost Sunday is traditionally described as the birth of the church when the Holy Spirit spiritually enlivened a large group of people and inspired them to go out into the world with a message of Christ's ministry, what he taught, his death, and his resurrection. It was an extremely powerful moment in the life of the disciples and of others, because that event not only changed those people, it changed the world. It was the beginning of the church today. The closest I could liken this event to is a passionate group of hockey fans in the arena when their team wins the Stanley Cup. And the place erupts in wild excitement, and everyone is, well, the people who won, is ecstatic. There's nothing like that powerful energy in those moments, and people can ride that high for a long time. That's kind of what happened in the early church when the power of the Holy Spirit infused people with such passion and courage that they encouraged each other to be bold in reaching out with a message of love, forgiveness, of healing, and justice through Christ, through the Spirit. But the church didn't happen overnight. It was and still is a work in progress. The only thing we can be sure of is that God is still working in the church and changing people and changing the world. God will always be at work. Our part is to actually tune into what God is doing and partner with God in doing this work. Through all of us who are willing to wait and be patient, to listen and be courageous enough to listen for the Holy Spirit, the Spirit will come and it will work in us, in others, and in the world. I think I do this every year to Gary. I always text him and say, what year did we start going down to the Dominican Republic? He always graciously sends it back. In 2012, a number of us took our first trip to the Dominican Republic to work in one of the poorest barrios of the country. And it was our intention was to spread the love of Christ with whoever we met and whatever we did down there. It was a risk. And it took courage for that first group of people to go somewhere they didn't know, to work in communities that were unfamiliar. We didn't know what to expect. We simply went to serve. We were called to do that. No one could know what to expect. Some who went that first time went a couple of times after that. But Gary Dzurka and Curtis Carlson have been going ever since. They've gone somewhere over 15 times to Maria Auxiliadora in the barrio in Dominican Republic, taking teams, working in the communities to serve children, youth, and families. A lot has changed, I think you'll see, since the first time they went down. God has been at work through their work, leading them, changing them, working in them, and in the communities that they have gone to serve. So I invited Gary and Curtis to share with us what they have been doing and will be doing this year as they travel to host camps in the barrio. They are, in essence, emissaries from this community, giving others a chance to know Christ through what they are doing and through them. And they'll be leaving in just over a week. So I'm going to invite Gary and Curtis to come up and tell us something about what they're up to.
Test, test. Can you hear me okay? Okay, perfect.
Good?
Yep.
Good?
Good. Does not stand too close for feedback. Julia, thank you for the introduction. Yeah, Julie asked us just to give a little bit of a background. There may be some new people here today, you know, or who haven't been here for the last 15 years as we've been going down to the Dominican. So we got a couple slides of where we go and what we do when we're down there. And then we're going to talk about some of the changes we've seen and then wrap up with a bit of information about what we're going to be doing this year. So Keith, this will be my sign. I present for a living, so I feel naked without my own clicker. So as Julia mentioned, the first trip was in 2012. I was sitting in the pews right where you were back in the summer of 2011 and looking at the bulletin when we still printed those. And Julia Leggett and Julia had put together an idea of taking the youth team somewhere for a mission trip. And Joanne and I thought, you know, our daughters are 15 and 13. What a great time to join that and participate in that trip going down. So there were 13 of us that year, as you'll see us all jammed into the truck. And we headed down to the DR. So when we got back, myself and Big Curtis and Gail LaFond and Julia met to kind of do a bit of a debrief from the trip. And we thought, you know what, that was quite the experience. The people were so kind and welcoming and warm. We immediately saw the benefit that we were receiving by partnering with them. And we decided that that wasn't a one-and-done trip. Some churches, organizations, you know, go somewhere every different year to a different place to do some work. And we thought we needed to continue working with that community. So, Keith, over the next 13 years, there was nine, actually that's a typo, there were seven family trips that went down from this church. I did the math one day and there's over 60 individual people that have gone down. Some have gone down more than once. Some of those are people sitting right here with us, Heather, Dean and Sally, Tamara, Curtis, myself, and Julia. And that slowly expanded to other people in our congregation, our community, friends, family have gone down. And our trips have been anywhere from three people up to 25. And we've been fortunate enough to form that partnership over those years. Keith?
These are a few of the different projects that we've been able to support over the past 12 plus years. There is a few different church communities that meet weekly for service as well as just community gatherings throughout the week. There is all different sorts of sports activities that you can think of. They have soccer, baseball, volleyball, all sorts of stuff that is able to help the kids in the community and in the school get active and stay off the streets. They've been able to establish a very well-functioning medical clinic, which includes dental, dentistry, optometry, and basic medical services. One of the most important ministries over the years is the water project, which they were able to create and now produce distilled clean water for the community that was not very easily accessible beforehand. And then another huge impact is the ability to send all kids that want to go to school, they can go to school where they are then fed meals throughout the day, breakfast and lunch, and then get an education and able to move on in the community from there. And then if we go to the next slide, there has been a many changes within the barrio throughout the year. This picture is actually just a corner lot with the little tin shack and big tree on it. It's directly across the road from where the first school and church was for the Tears community. So basically the main floor was a church and then the second floor was the school where they met weekly for service and then took the kids in for classes. And then this lot is directly across the street from that, which actually this community of faith right here, Okotoks United Church, we were able to fundraise enough money to buy that lot. So that is everybody sitting here today, was raised enough money. We bought the lot, and then if we go to the next slide, it is now a kindergarten to grade 2 building, where they have kids meeting obviously daily to get an education, and then they can go across the street to the elementary school after they're done kindergarten through grade two. And if you go to the next slide, this is actually on the compound where we stay when we go on our trip, where we are fed and sleep. This, about 10 years ago, was just an empty field with nothing on it, just a bunch of grass where kids would play soccer, whatever they wanted to play. And then throughout the years, we were the Partners Indeed and Tears community was able to fundraise money as well. So then if we go to the next slide, build a high school, which, so after the high school was built, which is built out of repurposed sea cans, they now have a full education from kindergarten to grade two over to elementary school, and then they can come here to finish their high school, where they can then be sent off hopefully to university afterwards.
So when we look at some of these projects, from the water to the education to feeding the kids to some of these fairly major capital projects, it really brings to my mind, it takes a community, right? You've seen some of the pictures of the teams that have gone down, but for every person that was able to make that trip, there were 10 of you behind us helping with fundraising. Heather bringing the Windmill Theater players for several concerts that you all attended and bought your tickets. And some folks were donating monthly for a period of time to help support the food program down there. So great thanks for some of these larger projects that the fundraising received because of this congregation and this community. But it's just not about projects. It's not about, what did you do when you were down there? Did you build the well? Did you build the house? Did you help clean up a park? What we found quickly in the first couple trips and has been a foundation of our partnership is relationships. And we've been blessed to be able to, been going for now, this is our 15th year, to be able to see the growth in the community and be a part of their lives. And that mutual is beneficial for us. That a little girl who captured our hearts in the first year continued to see us coming down to the point where now she's graduating and remembers us and looks forward to us coming. It's quite remarkable. So those relationships that we built support them and also enrich our lives. Keith? And growth through service, right? By providing service in your community, in an extended community or internationally, allows you to grow. And there's probably no better example than this young man beside me. You look at that first picture in the top left, he was full of vinegar. In 2013, on his first trip when he was 10 years old. And, he started his own relationships with kids of his age. Every year he continued to go back and formed a real tight bond of kids that are part of the community, to the point now where he has a leadership role in the trips that we've been taking for the last 5 years and doing the sports camps. So, it's an honor to have Curtis participate in all the years, especially in the last 4 years when it's been a much smaller group going down to continue our partnership. Keith? So we all remember COVID, right? So there was a two-year pause where we didn't make the travel. We were still participating. We were still doing Zoom meetings. We were still doing fundraisers to continue to support the programs you saw. But as the travel restrictions started to ease and the vaccines were getting better and we were feeling more comfortable, I knew we needed to make another trip just to continue the face-to-face building of relationships. So there still wasn't quite prime travel time and there were restrictions, but I said, we got to go do something. So I thought about a baseball camp and I reached out to the two people I knew would say yes. And that was my brother, John, and Curtis. So that first year in 2022, the three of us went, and we had 76 kids, roughly 50 boys and 26 girls, four sessions a day in 42-degree heat for 7 days, and we got through it. And we've been going, this will be our fifth year going down. And I'm going to get Curtis just to cover what we're going to be doing this year.
Yeah, so if we go to the next slide, this year we're going down for a baseball camp, but there's also, we've introduced tennis this year, so there's going to be two different sports. The boys are going to be doing baseball, and then the girls are all going to be doing tennis. So if we go to the next slide, it's actually all the numbers for this year. So we're going to the beginning of June, and this year we have, as of right now, 152 different kids registered for the camp, which is just because this is after they're done school. So a lot of times once they're done school, it's just summer break. They go do whatever they want, which unfortunately down there can lead to a lot of maybe going down bad roads when they don't have something to keep them occupied. So 152 kids able to come join us for baseball and tennis camp. There's all of us traveling down there to help lead the camps. The two different camps for the tennis and baseball, 6 days of it. So we have one skills competition at the very beginning where everybody comes together, has a good time. We have a bunch of different games. They get lunch, they get awards. Everybody walks out of there with a medal around their neck, and you never see a bigger smile on a kid's face than that. And then after that, we do 4 days of the training of either baseball or tennis. And then at the end, we do one day of games where everybody comes together and we play the games, either baseball or tennis, to kind of learn, see what everybody has learned throughout the week and have a little friendly competition at the end. And that's it.
Any questions? Heather? Yeah, so we started with 3. I think the second year we had 4, and then we had 5, 6, and then this year is 12. So myself and Curtis and my brother are still part of those 12. And we have my niece coming for the second time. And then we have 8 people coming from Varsity Bible Church in Calgary. Judy Shellstad, which many of you have met and traveled with, she's come to the sports camp every year. And rumor got out through their church of what we were doing, and it's just been growing. We've had Laurel McKenzie come. This will be her 3rd year. We've got 6 other people coming from Varsity that want to come with us this year. So we went from trying to figure out how the 3 of us are going to manage 70 kids to how am I going to keep 12 people and you're working with 152 kids. So the fact that I'm not sleeping anymore is I'm thinking 152 kids are showing up in a small park space and we got to feed them and play with them for 3 hours. So it'll be definitely challenging our skills. But Curtis is up for the challenge. Thank you.
Gary talked about Curtis.
I keep saying I had a catch in my throat because I'm sick, but it's not. So you feel free.
One of the proudest things I've done with this community is go to the Dynamic Robot. And to see the change in Gary, too. He talked about Curtis changing. Gary didn't go because he wanted to the first time. He went because he needed to protect his kids. Now he has a bunch more kids. And it's changed his life, and he's kept this ministry going. And so that's exciting. Question I have for you, what can we here do to support you?
What you've been doing for 15 years, sorry, I turned my mic off, but I've been told I have a booming, vibrating voice, I'm sure you can hear me. Pray for us. Continue to support when we have fundraising.
What's the Facebook handle? What would they find you under?
By my name.
By Gary Gerd. Yeah. Gary DeZerka. Yeah.
You know, this year we brought on tennis. We've had a lot of equipment brought down. My truck's out here. There's 6 50-pound bags I'm taking to Varsity right after this so they can bring them down. This year we're going to have 12 50-pound bags of equipment. So a lot of the baseball gloves and stuff that we take down, we get from the landfill, of course, which Mary and Norm were some of the very first people that started that whole project. It was just a barn with a little tin can you put your quarter in when you took something out there, and now it's a thriving business, right? So a lot of that equipment comes down, and this year we expanded to tents. So I live around the corner from there, so I go grab stuff all the time. And it was really interesting that the principal got really excited that we are going into that sport, because it is a privileged sport in the Dominican. There are no public tennis courts. There's not even schools that have a tennis area that you can play in. You have to be a member of a tennis club. So he just thought the fact that we could expose their children to the sport, bring the equipment down, and let them play for a week and leave it behind, and who knows where it goes. He was very excited for that. So we are on a basketball court with four little pop-up nets to start. But just like we thought 5 years ago, where would baseball go? It's flourishing. They have their own organization now, and we just, again, continue to supply the consumables, right? Baseball, soccer balls, volleyballs, because they just deteriorate in the heat, so.
Gary collects all year round. He's out pounding the pavement to get stuff and jerseys and everything he needs. If you want to support them financially as well, some of us try to do that annually because they feed kids, they have prizes, they get equipment, that sort of thing. What did you see you were doing this year for when we supported?
Yeah, so there was two things. The skills competition the very first day, we have 150 kids coming, and we have a lunch for them. Of course, even at $3 per child, that adds up. But when we first went and started the camp, we were noticing some of the kids that were showing up were distracted and having trouble paying attention, and one of the translators said they're hungry. In the Dominican, the kids traditionally don't get a breakfast. The parents can't feed them in the morning. They tend to have a little bit of a lunch, or a big lunch, and then maybe something in the evening. So year two and three, we started trying to bring a banana or some fruit or a juice box to the sessions so they could get something when they started. And over the years, we've expanded that. So now we have 152 kids times 5 days. That was some of the fundraising that we did this last year. I think it came out to about $1,800 just to feed them every day when they come, so they've got some food before they start their sessions.
So if you do want to support them, you can actually give to the church and just note Mission Possible, and it'll get to the program if you want to support that. Any other questions for Curtis or Gary? I'm going to invite those who have been on a team in these past years to come up and just lay hands on Gary and Curtis, and we are going to bless and commission them. Tamara's gone upstairs. There are many more, but these are the ones who are here today. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, we come today hearing the call to be your people, to go into all the earth to witness to our faith. We seek with your help to promise harmony and peace to promote harmony and peace in creation. We are called to partner with you that we might honor you in all that we do. Amen. Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask Gary and Curtis these questions. Gary and Curtis and those who journey with you, you have chosen to go to another country and another culture to offer service to the people, especially the youth of the Dominican Republic and Haiti who live there. And you have built relationships with the community and offered your gifts to support the work of Tears. So I ask you this. While there, will you share with those in need, doing it with all your heart, knowing that you are working for God's kingdom on earth? Will you be open to being transformed by the work that you do and the people that you meet? Will you offer the gift of hospitality that all might feel warmly welcomed and included in God's embrace through you? Will you trust in God's provision at all times, not knowing what you might encounter, but knowing that God will provide for you? And will you, as representatives of this community, Okotoks United Church, and of the United Church of Canada, bring the love of Christ and the prayers of this community to those you meet? If so, please answer with God as our helper.
With God as our helper.
I'm going to ask you to stand. Do you, the community of Okotoks United Church, agree to support this group with your prayers and encouragement as they embark on this trip to the Dominican Republic for the purpose of engaging in ministry with the Dominican and Haitian people and the team with tears? If so, please answer with God as our helper. We do. By the way, Tears, you may be seated. By the way, Tears is the organization that we partner with in the Dominican, which stands for True Evangelism Always Requires Service. So, bless you in your travels. Thank you for representing us. May you go with good health and with our blessing. Thank you. Thank you. Let's join in.